Shabbat Shalom. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds to your word this morning, not only through this parsha, but through the sermon as well. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Prepare our minds to hear from you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Parsha Chikat. Here's a broad overview, since it goes from chapter 19 to 22. After 40 years of journeying in the desert, the people of Israel arrive in the wilderness of Zin. Miriam dies, and the people thirst for water. God tells Moses to speak to the rock and command it to give water. Moses gets angry at the rebellious Israelites and strikes the stone. Water issues forth. But Moses is told by God that neither he nor Aaron will enter the promised land. Aaron dies at Hor Harah and is succeeded in the high priesthood by his son Eleazar. Venomous snakes attack the Israelite camp, and yet another eruption of discontent in which the people speak against God and Moses. God tells Moses to place a brass serpent upon a high pole, and all who gaze heavenward will be healed. The people sing a song in honor of the miraculous well that provided them water in the desert. Moses leads the people in battles against the Amorite kings who sought to prevent Israel's passage throughout their territory and conquered their lands which lie east of the Jordan. Do you imagine 2.5 million people and their flocks coming towards your land? Well, no wonder these guys didn't want them coming through. But God had other plans. After traveling for 40 years in the wilderness, the people have arrived in Kadesh in the Zin Desert, on the border of the Holy Land. Upon arrival, the people discovered that there was no water in Kadesh, and they complained to Moses. If we only had died, they vented, when our brethren died before God. Why have you brought the congregation of God to this desert to die there, we and our cattle? Why have you taken us out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Moses called upon God, who instructed him to take the staff and gather the people, you and Aaron, your brother. You shall speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will give its water. When all were assembled before the rock, Moses addressed them, "Listen, you rebellious ones. Shall we bring forth water for you from this rock?" Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed forth, and the people and their cattle drank. We. What's this we stuff, Moses? Moses forgot he was God's instrument, but it was God that provided everything, not Moses. God graciously allowed the water to flow, even though Moses did not do as God told him to do. Now, the water that flowed out of this rock wasn't just a little trickle. You got to remember, there's 2 million people and their flocks that are drinking from this rock. How big was this rock? I don't know. It doesn't say how big the rock was. 2 million people and animals drank from the rock. The rock that Moses struck followed them through the desert. Now, I've heard some people say, "Now that's impossible. Come on. There's not a rock going to be following them through the desert." Oh? You got a pillar of fire. You got a pillar of cloud. You got sandals that don't wear out. You got manna coming from heaven. The Red Sea is parted. Why the heck not a rock following them through the desert? Why not? You can't put God in a box. The rock that Moses struck followed them through the desert. Now we read in 1 Corinthians 10:4, and it states, and did all drink from the same spiritual rock, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah. We all know that this was a turning point in Moses' life. What seems like a small mistake to us was in fact very important to God in his eyes. Whereupon God said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me," not we, and I added that, not we, "you did not believe in me to sanctify me before the eyes of the children of Israel, Therefore, you will not bring this congregation into the land that I have given them. What Moses did was misrepresent God. Misrepresenting God is often done by well-meaning people, but it has dire consequences. I know that as a pastor, Sam is careful to represent God in a proper manner. He will have to give an account for his service here, in addition to an account for his family and himself. But it doesn't just stop with Pastor Sam. That goes for everyone that stands before you and brings the parsha, the sermon, the worship. But it doesn't even stop there. That does not relieve you of your responsibility. Scripture tells us that we are ambassadors for Messiah. We are Yeshua's representatives. Non-believers judge our walk with God by our behavior. And I find it very interesting that they know exactly how we're supposed to act. When we fall short, they are quick to point that out, and it hinders them from accepting God's gift of salvation. Why would I want that? So-and-so's done this. So-and-so's hurt me. I don't need that. When people start off a conversation with me, "God told me to tell you," a lot of red flags go up. 99% of the time, it's not from God. They use this as a way to gossip. Now, if a person is in rebellion, yes, I could see this happening. But if not, why doesn't God speak to me the same way he spoke to you? Can't he do that? Yes. Too many times I have seen God misrepresented by those in ministry. Too many times. God told me to tell the men of Hare Yeshua that from now on, we are going to wear our pants backwards. You laugh. But that's about as ridiculous as some of the other things I've heard. God told me to divorce my husband so I could marry so-and-so and be happy. These I've heard. Trust me. God told me to tell you that you are in great sin. Well, I got a problem with that. First off, there are no degrees of sin with God. Man has assigned degrees of sin. We have a tendency to justify our little innocent sins because we don't want to be as bad as that great sinner over there. Whether you tell a lie or whether you tell a lie or murder your neighbor, it doesn't matter to God. It's the same in God's eyes. One of my famous or favorite quotes, "There but for the grace of God go I." You know? God told me not to do or say anything more until I'm given $10,000. Chris remembers that one. I remember that one. That was a long time ago. My wife remembers. How many of you remember that guy? Oh, yeah. And he just sat there, smoking a cigar, rocking in his chair, on the stage, on TV, waiting. You were little. You were like littler than Polly. These quotes are actual ones that I have heard. You may have heard others. You may have heard most, some more that are more ridiculous than these. But these are the ones that stick out in my mind, especially the one, "God told me to divorce my husband so I could be happy." Someone actually had the audacity to tell me that. Like, no, sorry. So what can we take away from this? Let's be careful how we represent God. Before speaking on God's behalf, pray diligently so that you don't misrepresent him. And if you do accidentally misrepresent him, apologize. Make it right. Shabbat Shalom.